Blog Talk Radio.
Malone Pipeline is now on air and ready to take your calls. In 3, 2, 1. With DJ Malone, Lance Johnson, DJ Willie T, and the rest of DMP family. Call right now. Right now.
Hey, LeBron. See, they don't understand this, man. They don't understand the whole lingo. Our whole moves, our whole grind, man.
Hey.
This whole Trunk Music hey. USA shit is wow. real. You know what I'm saying?
It's a hit right
here. You represent some shit. That
it's a hit.
You know
right
the lanes,
here.
Man. The way they talk crazy, man. They don't hey. Even understand.
Turn
shit.
Up.
About to go in. Turn up.
Hey. Money in my pocket, I'm about to turn up. Loud in the air, I'm about to turn up. Bad chick on the side, I'm about to turn up. And I swear to God, a lame don't wanna act up. Turn up, turn up, turn up, turn up. Everywhere that we go, we turn up, turn up, turn up, turn up, turn up. Everywhere we go, we turn up.
You know
turn
I'm Brandon, I'm getting to it. I'm popping bottles.
Your chick, yeah, she yellow meat.
She's a Thotiana. She say she wanna ride with me because she know who I be. I'm getting to the money, Joe, and I don't gotta play
ain't
no game. See,
no.
Money all up on my mind. These lame niggas out here talking down.
Damn.
Talk about what they go doing. All see, I always stay turned up. Loud smoke up in the air. Yes, I'm getting to the money.
And I wave my hands like I don't care.
Money in my pocket, I'm about to turn up. Loud in the air, I'm about to turn up. Bad chick on the side, I'm about to turn up. And I swear to God, a lame don't wanna act up. Turn up, turn up, turn up, turn up. Everywhere that we go, we turn up, turn up, turn up, turn up, turn up. Everywhere we go, we turn up, turn up.
I'll turn it up, give money, get bread. Can't talk to fed, and your thoughts to give me head. Foreign car whip a nigga, y'all niggas scared. I'd rather get this money, y'all be broke instead. I be hustling hard, riding my foreign shit. I ain't worried about nothing, nigga, I just get this money, bitch. This junker, yet I burn it loud. Foreign car, foreign cuss. Chevrolet kid, this nigga wanna talk that shit. Let me speak, got a mark on my damn cuss.
Money in my pocket, I'm about to turn up. Loud in the air, I'm about to turn up. Bad chick on the side, I'm about to turn up. And I swear to God, a lame don't wanna act up. Turn up, turn up, turn up, turn up. Everywhere that we go, we turn up, turn up, turn up, turn up, turn up. Everywhere we go, we turn up, turn up.
I got to be real with it. There's realness right there. Shut
that's,
up, Brandy.
Right, there's realness because you always cheating on somebody. You got about 50
really?
Different girlfriends.
Really? Oh, you wanna go there, right? You
yep,
let's
go
there on this show.
Let's go there.
Let's go there, man. Okay. We're going to listen.
Oh, okay.
Listen, we're going to have to this is reading the mail earlier because I get mail. Unlike Vanity, I have a life. And,
wow. I got a damn life.
Laying on your back ain't life.
Unlike you, motherfucker.
I don't lay on my back. I get on top.
I haven't to have to be in a committed relationship, and I don't have
I'm single.
Or niggas.
I'm single.
Because you're
I'm
a hoe.
Single.
Nobody wants your ass. Shit.
Okay, nobody wants me. Brooklyn, how was your day?
Malone Pipeline is now on air and ready to take your calls. In 3, 2, 1. With DJ Malone, Lance Johnson, DJ Willie T, and the rest of DMP family. Call right
Call
now.
Right now.
773-897-3976. It's easy. Just say name and state you are calling from, and you will be logged right into the convo. Get ready to have some fun.
Welcome. Welcome, people. I welcome you to the hot seat, the most craziest, wonderful, but realist show of all time. I'm talking about the hot seat with DJ Malone. Today, people, you guys already know, I'd love to bring you the hottest people in wherever the hell they at, they aren't here. I'm DJ Malone, and tonight, well, today actually, because this is at 2 p.m. my time, today is going to be a guest producer. This guy is he's done some things, man. Let's bring him in, man. Steve, how you doing?
I'm all right, brother. How you doing? Thanks for having me.
Oh, man, anytime, man. It's a pleasure. Pleasure for you to be on the show.
Are you kidding me? The pleasure's all mine, man. It's like home of Oprah Winfrey. I'm talking to you. I can't believe this. This is so exciting. Thank you.
Oh, man, definitely, definitely, man. Well, go ahead and tell the people who you are and what you do.
Well, my name is Steve Najjar, and I'm from Toronto, Canada. I'm a producer and an actor, and I own the company. At the same time, I'm a bodyguard as well. So I love doing action films. So we just got a film that's just come out called The Last King last Friday, which is November the 6th up here in Canada.
Definitely, definitely, man. Hey, I'm excited. I'm excited for you, though, man. I want to take it back, though. I want to go on a time machine. I want to take it back real quick. How did it all begin? What made you want to pursue, you know, in film and into the production world?
You know what? I was born in India, the mystical place that everybody talks about, but in northern part, in Punjab, where all the Sikhs are, where we're considered the warriors of the country. So there, when I was a kid, DJ Malone, you know, this guy used to come around with a huge box around his neck, and you would look in a little hole, and you'd see all the Bollywood actors back then. And he'd just turn the knob, and the pictures would go by, and they would put a song on. And then I still remember like it was yesterday, I used to save my little pennies from my mom. And when he would come into the village, I used to run and look at that. And then those feelings actually stayed with me for my entire life. So when my parents moved up to the beautiful country that I live in, Canada, you know, that feeling never went away. But I always wanted to play soccer. So I wanted to make a living out of playing soccer. So I turned professional as a soccer player up here in Canada. So after I finished playing soccer, I said, what do I want to do now? And the only thing that I was very passionate about was films, because I had all those feelings with me since I was a kid. And that's how it took off. And it was difficult because back in the day, it wasn't easy for a colored person to go out and get an audition or never mind, get a part. So it was very, very difficult for me to get those parts or even audition to even be an extra. And I said, you know what? I ain't going to depend on anybody. I'm going to do it on my own. So I went out. I got Spike Lee's books, She's Gotta Have It, and I read that book three or four times, and I used to underline is what he used to do and how he did it. And believe it or not, brother, after reading that book 3-4 times, I went out and I produced my very first feature film.
Oh, wow. That's crazy, man. So now your one of your first feature film, was that Safety Zone or which one was that?
No, my very first feature film was called The Final Goal with Eric Estrada, Punch from Chips. And that was a soccer film that I decided to produce because soccer was very, very, very close to me. It's part of my life, part of my being. And we produced that up here. And, you know, it did very, very well overseas. Even in the States, it got released on video and everything else. Then after that, I wanted to do some action stuff because, you know, I'm a martial artist, black belt taekwondo. So, you know, I did Safety Zone with Lauren Avdon from King of Kickboxers and Matthias Hughes, who did I Come in Peace, like tons of B-films. And then again, that did well as at the same time. Then after that, I produced another one and starred in that as well, was The Protector with Matthias Hughes and Frank Zagarino and myself. And my South Korean distributor picked that up and they distributed that. So those are my first three films that I produced and starred in.
Okay. Now a lot of people don't understand the role as a producer. Now, I produced a TV show as well, but I think a lot of people don't understand the crucial part of the producer. I mean, yes, the director has a crucial part, but I feel for the producer because he's the one when the creativity comes into part. So what advice could you give to somebody who wants to come into the producing lane? What advice can you give to them?
Man, get ready to work your butt off. You got to work, and most importantly, get ready to go through some hurdles, some stress, some, as you know, we're both producers. It takes a lot of money to produce things. So money's always the issue. It doesn't matter whether you got a $100 million film or you got a $10,000 film. It's still the same. It's very, very difficult to raise. So it's like, you know, looking over the hen, what comes first? You know, you got the money, you need a good project. You got the project, you can't get any money. You know, anyone that wants to come into this business, be passionate. That was my first thing I would say, because at the end of the day, when you're sitting down, you're really being beaten up that day or that week or that month, it's your passion that's going to really make you go through that project. I mean, this project that I'm doing took me 15 years from concept to release.
Wow.
And never in those 15 years did I say to myself, ah, man, I'm going to throw in the towel. Never, ever. That's not in my existence. So if you have that type of passion, I think you can do well. And be passionate about the story that you want to tell, because that's important.
Wow. That's crazy, man, because when I say, I tell people this all the time, because DJing, I primarily DJ, but it's just a lot of people don't understand that if this is something that you love, you're going to want to do it. If this is something that you pursue, you're willing to go through the hurdles and the trials and the tribulations. You know what I'm saying? And you're willing to go through it to see your actual success or your movie or whatever you're doing come to life.
Exactly. I mean, if you're passionate about a project that you want to see it to completion and release, that project should not let you sleep at night. That's how passionate you should be. That project should be burning in your soul. And when it's burning your soul, that makes you restless. And when you're restless, you want to do things. When you want to do things, you will work towards your goals that you have, that you want to achieve in this business or any business, for matter of fact. So it's got to be burning you, man. It's got to bother you. It's got to bother you that you're sleeping at night, at 2 in the morning, rather than staying up and working towards that film or TV show that you want to do.
Real. Well, man. Well, let's go ahead and get into a couple other things, man, because we got a whole bunch of exciting things that you have already done. Now, I know that one of your souls have actually made it onto the Fox Sports called Soccer Dreams.
That's right.
Tell us a little bit about that. And where it is still airing right now, where can people check it out and get the whole shebang?
Man, soccer in my life is like, you know, one of those ex-girlfriends that you get rid of and say, I don't want you, but you still love her and you always go back to her. Then you decide to leave and go back again because you love her so much, but you can't be around her. Soccer is like that in my life. I love it. It's part of me, but I don't want to be around it all the time. But I've got all these connections all over the place. So I decided to, I came up with the concept, that a reality show, that why don't I take the top 40 kids in Canada and whittle them down to 22, and I give away 2 years contract to Everton Football Club. So it took my lawyer and myself 9 months to organize that with Everton. And matter of fact, I was so shocked that they actually gave me that deal, because no English Premier League club is going to give you a contract where they don't even know where the kid is. They don't even know if he exists. They don't even know if he's going to be good enough. So for me to pull that off, that was like, wow, I couldn't believe that. So from there, it was the same thing. Went across the country, used all my soccer skills, got everything together, and away we went. And then Everton, you know, Ray Hall from Everton Football Club, came by when I had whittled it down to 22 players, and he spent a good week with them, and then he actually chose the final player that he wanted, and then that kid went to Everton for 2 years off and on. So that was successful because I had, you know, I had good support. I had other people involved with me, Mark Poyser, you know, Jalal Mary was the one that helped us with that as well. He's one of the producers. And from there, you know, Fox Sports picked it up, and they've aired it. So I don't know if they're still airing it now. That was a number of years ago. But for it just to get out there, it was just a blessing. And saying, wow, man, we did something, and it's out there, and people are appreciating it. People are loving it.
Yeah, definitely, man. I love your story because it shows the story about the underdog. And we all have that story in our own different ways, but I really like yours because you went through stuff. Yes, you know, you stuck in a puddle of mud, but you got yourself back up, kept on going, and you did not take no for answer. And I like your stories like that. So I commend you on it.
You know what, and thank you, and God bless you for that, brother. But you know what, my thing to anybody is, I also boxed. I had a couple pro fights, I had amateur fights. And you know what, when you get into the ring and you got one round, you got to go and give everything you've got. Whether you get knocked down, knocked out, but you got to keep punching. And my theory in life is, you know what, I've slept on the floor. I've been broke. I've been so hungry. I've had no money for my kids, a newborn child that I couldn't afford to even buy. But you know what? I worked hard and I worked very honest. And God has blessed me with wonderful things in this world because you got to work hard and work honest in whatever you do. I mean, I have another business. You know, I'm like I said, we run a security company and I'm a bodyguard. But that helps me push my film career, which is my passion. And anybody, man, we're all underdogs. We're all underdogs one way or another. And the difference between you and somebody else is you can get knocked down, and it's okay to get knocked down. Stay down for a little while. You know, look up at the stars. Relax. But when you're down, you got to plan. You got to strategize. You got to come up. And you got to know when you get up, you're going to have so much fire in you that you're going to bulldoze through walls, cement walls, whatever walls it might be. A lot of times those walls are just emotions and our fears. And if we can overrule all those, you've won. And the bottom line is everybody, I don't care who you're, everybody will get knocked down. Stay down for a little while. Reflect. Pray. Look up at the star. Look what's around you. Then find all of that resource and bring it into you and say your prayers. And if you have that goal, then nothing in the world that'll stop you. People say, oh, you didn't make millions. Is that why you're doing it for? If that's what you're doing it for, I think that's the wrong reason. That's part of it, but that's not the first and foremost. First and foremost is you love and you're passionate about what you do, period.
Yeah, I like that, man. Like, well put right there, man. Well, let's get to the big one. This is the one that I'm excited for. People are participating for. They're going to see it. They're going to watch it, and they're going to be in awe. Let's get into The Last King, man. Tell us about the film. What is the film about?
Man, DJ Malone, I can't believe I'm talking to you in Chicago. Never mind Last King or anything. This is exciting for me, man. If Oprah's even listening, hey, Oprah, I want to come to your show. Never mind. But you know what? This is an exciting moment for me, and I sincerely mean that. You know, Last King is a very important part of my life. Of course, 15 years. But it's a true story because filmmaking is not all about Tom Cruise blowing things up or Matt Damon getting rescued in last five films. They've spent, I think, over a couple of billion just rescuing Matt Damon, I think, from every film that he's done. So, and we don't have the budget. So I believe in telling a beautiful story that can cross boundaries, that can cross, communities, cross languages. So Last King was all about that. And the story basically is based on true events. If anybody or any of your listeners are know anything about India, it was a very mystical place. That was called a golden sparrow for England when they ruled it. When they ruled India for 100 years, there's one part they could not destroy or could not overtake was Punjab, land of five rivers. That's because all the Sikhs, which I'm a Sikh, you'll see them wearing a turban, long beard. Now, don't confuse us for like Muslims. We're not Muslims, we're Sikhs. We believe in one God, and we will treat everybody equal. We'll help you. You need help, you're down. Man, look for a Sikh, and my brother and sister will be out there to help you. We don't care who you are. So that's who we are. So I wanted to tell people my story, our story. So when England finally defeated us, there was a big king there called Maharaja Ranjit Singh. When he passed away and he lost the Anglo-Sikh war, what the British did was they grabbed his 9-year-old son and they took him to England. And when they brought him to England, along with that, his father had one of the biggest diamond of all time. I mean, all time. And this diamond has been around since Jesus Christ. So everyone that conquered India, they would take it back to Afghanistan, back to India, back to Iran, back in Iraq, back and forth. It was always around that, but it ended up with this great king in Punjab, Maharaja Ranjit Singh. Queen Victoria always had her eyes on that, because that was her key thing. That she had that, she conquered India. He had conquered the Sikhs. So what she did was, when she took that from the 9-year-old king at that time and she converted him to Christianity by force, she killed all the roots to the kingdom for the young king. That diamond, recut it, reshaped it, and she stuck it in her crown. So when you see Queen Elizabeth wear her crown today, that central diamond, that belonged to my people, the Sikhs, the Punjabis, and that diamond belonged to our last king, and it's called Kohinoor. Kohinoor, DJ Malone, means mountain of light. And so that symbolizes our people. That diamond symbolized our pride, our sovereignty, our strength, and who we were. So that's where I got the idea to, I want to make a movie on that, and how can I take all that and bring it today and add the action and the Hollywood elements of it. So that's how the film sort of occurs. And so 150 years later, the descendant of that king from England that got taken to England is still alive, and he wants that diamond back, take it back to Punjab so his people can rise one more time.
Okay, definitely, man. Hey, I love the plot line to this. This sounds very exciting. Now, I see that it's already been out. It went out November the 6th, right?
That's right. It was a limited release here in Toronto, Canada, and we're looking to take it right across the country very shortly. And you know what? In December, we would love to open it up in the States if we get good support out there. We get some love out there from my American cousins, and we would love to bring the film down to Chicago or other major cities as well.
Definitely, man. Yeah, I would love to see it. I would love to see this, and because it just sounds so exciting, it really does. I want to ask you this: how long was this in the making for? Like, the planning, the structure, the screenwriting, the writing, the producing. How long was this in the making before you actually hit that finish line?
15 years, brother.
Wow.
15 years. That's how long it took me.
Wow.
And it's been a long time, but it goes back to the thing. I never ever wanted to take no for an answer. Yeah. That was my thing. I had to get it done. I had to tell a story. The story kept me up at night to the point it started bothering me. The script started talking to me, saying, hey, what are you going to do with me? You know, you're ignoring me right now. And those are things that I meant, that things got to bother you when you don't achieve your dreams and your goals.
Real, man. I just love your story. I really do. Now, when you sit back, and I'm assuming you got to watch it all the way through and everything in the theater or wherever, how was that feeling like when you actually hit that finish line and, wow, like, I did it? How was
man, it was the day that I took the posters to the Cineplex theaters and they put them up, it was a weight lifted off my shoulders. It was a monkey off my back. It was a monkey that I did not want to see again or talk to again, because it was so long. The struggle was so long that I cannot. It was very emotional. I almost wanted to cry, but that it wasn't even me. It was all those emotions built up in this. Because over the 15 years, you know, it was a sad part for me as well. You know, I had a new son that was born. He's 7 now. I had a lot of relationships built, a lot of relationships lost. I got married. You know, before I was about to shoot the very first frame, you know, my father had passed away. And you know, only a man can understand. We don't talk to our father that much, but yet we love our father. We have that bond that you can't explain. So, yeah. And that was very hard time for me. So when I took, you know, did my business, what I had to do for my father to send him away, you know, I came back, and honestly, 3 weeks later, I said, I'm going to shoot the first 4 days, the hard scenes of this film. And I did it. And I put my pain with my father passing away into this film.
Wow, man. That's amazing to hear. It really is, man. And I'm sorry to hear about your dad, but it just seems like, you know, that you took that
that struggle from your dad and you really applied it to this. Let me ask you this. We're going to get on something a little bit more soft, a little bit more, you know, funny and interacting. Okay, so what is your favorite type of movie? You could pick what favorite type of movie Steve liked. What is your favorite type of movie?
Gladiator.
Gladiator. So like 300, what are we talking
about? Yeah, I love Gladiator. I love Saving Private Ryan. I love the what Brad Pitt, what movie was he in? There's another one, Kingdom of Heaven. I love films like that because they're just so epic, but they tell such a beautiful story. And you know what? That's what Hollywood does. But if we as young producers or new producers coming in, instead of building a 90-minute film like that, you know, build 10 minutes of that and then put everything you got into it, people will love that. That'll build you up as well. So, yeah, those are my type of films. I mean, I love those films, man. Those films move me. Braveheart's another one. Love that film.
Yeah, man, that's the most I like drama and thrillers. And a little bit of action.
Yeah?
I'll say that. A little bit of action. A little bit. Just a tad bit. It has to be
Go ahead.
Well, I just feel like with action, sometimes it's like a hit or miss with me because the action be on point, but the actors, sometimes they lack in some places. As far as chemistry wise for me.
True. I gotta agree with you there, man. You know, being a Sikh, man, it's like we're warriors. I love anything that kicks ass out there. You know, all the beautiful listeners you got. You know what? If a lot of you might not know, what's this guy keep saying? He's a Sikh. You know, look it up. Sikh, and that'll tell you who my people are. So you know, any good film with a great storyline that kicks a lot of butt. Man, I'm into it. Let's just do it. But it's got to have a good story. It's got to be emotional. It can't be only about killing and get killed. It's got to be driven by love or emotion or a goal or a powerful goal.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Well, hey, I appreciate you coming through, man. We're winding down to the end of the show. Hey, everybody, make sure you guys check out The Last King. Has it hit DVD or... If they're around locally in your area, where can they check it out at if they can?
You know what? Right now, what they can do is actually they can visit me or become my friend on Facebook, Steve Nijjar, N-I-J-J-A-R, or, you know, follow us on Twitter, Last King Film, and we'll keep everyone posted when we're releasing it in the States. And I would love to build a great relationship, great rapport, and then make great friends in America. You know what, DJ Malone, let me tell you something, brother. I'm a Canadian, but I love something about Americans. You guys give opportunities down there. You guys will talk to people that are up and coming. You guys want to hear the story of the struggles. I love my country, man, but look, I'm calling from Canada, and you guys sent so much love my way. It's amazing. I can't get this up here in Canada. I got so many interviews down there on radios. It is just overwhelming. So thank you for the love and the respect and the support you've offered the last game.
I appreciate it, man. It's just something that we do, man. Like, and you know, like as I always tell people this, as a DJ, your job is to also play what's hot, but your job is to bring on what's new. So
that's right.
I always say.
That's right, brother. And you know what? I hope I hear from your audience. I hope they hit me up on Facebook or Twitter soon, you know?
Okay, definitely. Definitely, man. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to be sharing this, and then I might do a recap of it a little bit later. But definitely, man. Yo, give it to Facebook and the Twitter where they can find you at. Because I want people to get
man,
content.
Great. Steve Nijjar, N-I-J-J-A-R, on Facebook. Or on Facebook, The Last King. Twitter, Last King Film. Follow us. You know, a lot of love toward you guys, man. Guys, if you're listening to me, keep punching. It doesn't matter how tired you get. Keep punching. One of those punches is going to knock the sucker out. And be good. Always be good to people. And that's it.
Definitely, man. Well, I appreciate you coming through, man. It means a whole lot here on the hot seat.
Brother, I enjoyed it, man. I enjoyed it. I wouldn't want to be doing anything else today but talking to you.
Definitely, man. Do me a favor, man. If you could, man, just kind of like a little drop or whatever. If you could, just say, this is Steve, and I'm rocking with DJ Malone on the hot seat.
Man, this is Steve Najjar from Toronto, and I'm rocking on the hot seat with DJ Malone.
Oh, that's what I'm talking about. Hey, man, hey, I'll
be
following you,
man. And you know what, DJ Rock ain't got nothing on me. He just hasn't met me yet.
Definitely, man, definitely. Hey, I appreciate you coming through. I'm going to be following you. And, you know, keep in contact with me, man. If, you know, I'm a cool guy, you know, so just get back with me.
You know, I definitely will, brother. You know, yes, you sound like such a cool cat. I'd hang out in the alley with you any day. And a lot of blessings to you for having me on there.
You too, man. And I wish good things and ever for everything.
Thank you, man. You guys are in my prayers.
Definitely. All right, man. Well, it's
Take
your boy,
care.
DJ Malone. You too, man. It's your boy, DJ Malone. Make sure you guys check out The Last King. Hit him up. Man, good guy right there. It's your boy, DJ Malone. I'm going to be heading out the door. Until next time, we out. One.
Hey, LeBron. See, they don't understand this, man. They don't understand the whole lingo. Our whole moves, our whole grind, man. Hey, this whole trunk music. Hey.